This is the first time I got to hold him. No, since my mom got here. I had a fighter. All right. I was just having a little proud moment there. I probably should get rid of him. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. I'm going to need my Bible this morning. I want to remind you, too, we had just a full service last week. It was Father's Day. We were taking communion at the end, and everybody got distracted, and we forgot to give out the Father's Day gifts. The really cool flashlight. So if you're a father in the house, please get those today. We're not going to forget today, Chuck. Here, did you get one yet? Well, here you go. There you go. Praise the Lord. Also, we're going to pass this prayer sheet. Before we pass it, though, I just want to say we've got a prayer station out there. You're supposed to stop and sign up. You're having a little problem with execution on that. How many of you saw the prayer sign? It's pretty, right? Little light on it, you admired it, and you passed it on by. So we're going to pass it today because we do our 72 hours of prayer the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of every month. It's been 8 years since we started that. 72 hours continuous prayer, the first of every month, all 12 months. We got to sign up to keep it going, to keep it growing, to keep the passion in it. And so we're going to give you a chance today to sign up for prayer. Now, if you don't know, that we have a prayer room. You go through these double doors and straight up the steps, and you get to the top of the steps, it's on the left. How many of you have been to the prayer room before? Okay, so some of you have never been. So if you sign up, other than in the yellow early morning wee hours, you can pray at home. But in those other hours, we come in and we pray. And we take turns and we hand the baton off to the next person. And for 72 straight hours, there's prayer going out for our community, for our leaders, for our nation, for our world, for the kingdom, for harvest, for the supernatural. So as that goes around, please, when it gets to the end, make sure it makes the leap over to the other aisle. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. Say thank you for being here. How many of you ever played apples to apples? Apples to apples. We had a family night last night. We were sitting around the table. We were playing apples to apples. And Taylor had this card, and it said midlife crisis. And she slid it over to me, and I don't know what she exactly meant by that. But she slid it over to me, and I read the little statement that it said about midlife crisis. It says, midlife crisis is when you realize that your clothes are as old as your children. Now, I don't know what she's trying to say about it. But how true is that? You're just beating along through life, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I haven't had a wardrobe update. Anybody? Jim, come on, you better raise your hand. Don't make me call you out this morning. Because I can tell, I can see you right where you're at. Don't make me call you out this morning. I am not in a midlife crisis. I passed it. I had a grandbaby. That just takes you straight to the next level. Oh, man, this morning, we're going to be in Isaiah 40. We're going to read a little bit in Isaiah 61, and we're going to read a little bit in Timothy, and a little bit in Matthew. Greg's like, whoa. As you're turning there, Natalie, can you come and just give a testimony real quick? Give a testimony about your grandmother. I just appreciate this testimony and how prayer changes things.
While we were at camp last week, which was the best thing ever, The last day we were there, towards the evening, I get a phone call from my dad. My grandma, who is 94, had a massive stroke. And my dad is not one to tell me that it's not going to look good. He's one that says, oh, she'll get over it. It'll be all right. He said, Natalie, she had her stroke. She was hospitalized. They thought she was doing better. So they sent her home. And while she was at the nursing home for about a half hour, she spiked a very high fever. And Dad told me that they were telling them that this looked like the beginning of the end. Which, while you're at camp, this is not one thing you really want to do, but you have to handle it. And he said, and your sister, who is in Peru, has been hospitalized for a very bad illness. So I took it all in. He goes, I know you're in Florida. He said, but, you know, I just wanted you to know what's going on. So I get off the phone and I tell the group that I was with. They got into prayer. I sent a few messages out for prayer. And for me, I'm not one to be worshiping. And when something like that comes about, that's not normally something I do. But I felt God say, you know, you need to praise. Just be faithful. So that night we went to the last service. And with my hands raised high, I was praising, tears running down my face. I was, you know, your will be done. You know, you know the plan for my grandma, you know. So I called the next day. She was doing a little bit better. And they said it's still a long road, which she had the stroke for like a day. This is day 3. And I sent my aunt a message this morning asking how she was doing. I'm shaking. I said, how's grandma today? And she said, she is doing crazy amazing. She said, she asked if all of her boys were gone. She's got 5 boys because they were driving her crazy. She said, if they're gone, I'm getting up. So they got her up. She's in her wheelchair. She's smiling. And she said, she told her oldest son that you're annoying me. So she is better. 3 days. 3 days after a massive stroke, she is in a wheelchair, she is smiling, she is talking, and they honestly thought she wasn't going to make it.
Amen. Amen. How many of you believe that things change when you pray? There can be a shift in the circumstances, in the atmosphere of what's taking place. How many of you have seen that before? Through your prayers, there's been a change or a shift of what was going on, amen? And so I just want to continue to receive those testimonies. And last week we had some testimonies of healing. We had some prayer going on over here on the side and just some really awesome things happening. I want to continue to encourage you to pray. You remember the word that God gave us last week? He said the answers are there, they're coming, but do not stop praying. Don't get tired. Don't get weary. Don't stop praying. Now, let's get our word out. Father, use your word today. Use it, God, to tear down strongholds and principalities in our own thinking, in our own hearts, in our own mind. God, we want the truth to set us free. We want to be able to walk in the freedom, not trapped by the things of this world, not trapped by the expectations of this world, God, but walk in the true and utter freedom that, God, you give through your word and through your eternal perspective. We praise you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to go to this place today. How many of you remember the story where John the Baptist was in the wilderness? What was he doing in the wilderness? He was what? He was baptizing. What else was he doing? What was his purpose? John the Baptist, to proclaim Jesus, he was actually, they use this word, to prepare the way of the Messiah. He was preparing the way, and he was proclaiming Jesus, right? And he was baptizing, and there was many people beginning to follow. And he didn't set up a place in the city where everybody would see him. He went out into the wilderness, away from the things that would distract And he went out and he began to minister in this place out in the wilderness, and people began to come. People began to receive the good news, right? And so I was reading this, I was just thinking through this and meditating on it, and God showed me that this passage of scripture that's in the Gospels, but this passage of scripture where John the Baptist is actually fulfilling the prophecy that was prophesied in Isaiah 40. And God began to put two and two together for me, and I began to see this clear picture that John the Baptist, the calling that he had upon his life was to prepare the way of the coming Messiah, to open up the door for the Messiah. And what I begin to realize is that the calling that's upon our life is much the same way, because Jesus, who died and was resurrected to the right hand of the Father, guess what? He is coming again. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again? Okay, half of you. All right, we got some work to do. Let's see. Let's change the scripture today to... Jesus Christ is coming back. God has a plan. He's lined it out. There's coming a day. It says that every tongue will confess. It says that every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. There's coming a time, and we live in a day where sometimes it's a little hard to get a hold of that, because we live in such a world that everything's about us and today, right? We got it all lined out today, and we look at the things for today, and we got the American dream, and we got so many. Anybody ever feel like there's just so many things pulling on you, trying to push you in a certain direction, trying to guide your thoughts? There's so many things coming in from the outside. How many of you ever watch the news? I would encourage you not to watch it, but if you do, how many of you, when you watch the news, you feel bombarded? It's like all these nasty, terrible, negative gossip, backbiting, all of these things are just trying to come into your heart. And how many of you walk away from the news channel like, man, I need to take a shower. I need a bath. That was terrible. And we live in such a world that there's so many things trying to guide us and direct us and trying to input into our lives that sometimes the hardest thing to do is to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as we walk through every second of every day. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, to really get your ears dialed into what he's saying, right? Is anybody else have a problem, or is it just me that sometimes your flesh is the one that's leading you in a situation? Or sometimes your emotions get the best of you and kind of set you up for failure. Sometimes the situation gets so heavy that you find yourself being weighted down. You know what I'm talking about, Maria? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Jules? This situation pushes you down, and sometimes we get our eyes on the wrong thing, but the big picture is that Jesus is coming back. And the big picture is that Jesus not only gave John the Baptist a voice to prepare the way, but he gave you a voice. He gave you a voice, and your responsibility is to prepare the way for the coming King. How many of you know that you have a message in you? You have a message that's in you. You've been given a voice for an express purpose of glorifying the King of Kings. Sometimes we get so trapped in our own little bubble. Anybody have a bubble? You get locked up there sometimes. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and sometimes we just can't seem to get out of that thing. It's like no matter how hard you hit it, it just kind of flexes and then pushes you right back in there. But there's a big picture going on here, and that Jesus is coming back. And how many of you know that Jesus died for all mankind? And he doesn't love you any more than he loves anybody else. His love for all of humanity is the same. The blood of Christ washes away sins, amen? Not just your sins, although there are many. Amen? His blood washes away all sins. And so we find ourselves with this voice, and too many times, too oftentimes, I think we find ourselves silent. We find ourselves silent when we should be proclaiming. I can't imagine John the Baptist being very quiet. I just have this picture of him, you know, with the eating locusts and honey and the camel hair and long, I mean, in the wilderness, down by the river, kind of had a beard like me. Huh? No, it was thicker than mine, Ruby. Yeah. Okay, so it's, it was longer. Yeah, he probably had longer hair than me too, I imagine. I can't imagine John the Baptist being quiet, though, a quiet guy. I can't imagine him holding what God had put in his heart and not sharing that. And I think sometimes we are afraid. I think sometimes we are, I hate to use this word, but I think sometimes we're ashamed of what people might think, of what the crowd we're with might, how they might interpret that and how they might view you and what kind of judgment they might pass against you. And I would say, hey, this is the time that God's given you a voice. It's a time for you to use it. It's a time for you to be filled with his love and his grace. It's a time for you to speak the truths of what God's given you. Turn with me to Isaiah 40. I'm telling you, I've probably said enough already. I can just read these scriptures to you, and it'll be enough. I'm going to read chapter 40, starting in verse 1. It says, comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Comfort, comfort my people. Comfort my people. Let me ask you this. Who needs comforting around you? Who needs comforting around you? I guarantee you, if I ask you to make a little list right now, you could probably come up with two or three names of people that are hurting around you. Couldn't you? Rebecca, could you come up with a few? You could come up with a few. It says, comfort, comfort my people. Verse 2, speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone, her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all of her sins. Verse 3, it says, listen. Listen. You know, sometimes this is that's the hardest thing that I have the most problem doing. How many of you come to the Lord or you're in your place, Lord, and you got so many things to say. You got so many thoughts running through your mind. And the Word of God says, listen. How many of you think if we come to the Lord and we listened, that we might get a better perspective of how to proceed into a certain situation? Listen. It says, it's the voice of someone shouting. Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and the hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, shout. And I ask, what should I shout? The Word of God says, shout that the people are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. Do you realize that? Or are we beginning to experience that? Man, our life is fleeting. Our life is like a vapor. Our life is literally like grass in a field. And it begins to wither. It says the grass withers. Come on, this is a scripture right here you can underline. It says the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of our God stands forever. How many times have you found yourself in a situation, come on, Michelle, and you didn't have the answers and you didn't even have the hope necessarily and you didn't have the right perspective and the word of God came to you and became your strength and gave you strength in your legs and your back to be able to stand and face the situation that was before you. Amen? Every day, come on. But the word of God stands forever. Verse 9, it says, O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. How many of you know that you are carriers of the good news? If you've received Christ and the grace of God has found you where you're at, you have the good news in you. Because if you've tasted the good news, it's in you. It says, shout it louder. Shout it louder. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout it. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep and their young. It says, who else has held the oceans in his hands? As I read this next scripture, I want you to just close your eyes for a second. I want you to imagine the words that I'm saying. I want you to visualize God whom we serve and the majesty and the power of who he is. It says, who else has held the oceans in his hands? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in a bucket. They are nothing more than dust on scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it was a grain of sand. All the wood of Lebanon's forest and all of Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy to our God. The nations of the world are nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, mere emptiness. To who can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold or overlaid with gold or decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, would they choose wood and a skilled craftsman to carve an image? Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words that God gave before the world began? God sits above the circle of the earth, and people are like grasshoppers. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain, and he makes a tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. To whom can you compare me? Whom is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Verse 28, it says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding, his power. He gives great power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Says that even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We're talking about a God whose majesty and glory we cannot even comprehend. We're talking about a God who holds you in the palm of his hand. A God who doesn't have to demand your worship. It should naturally rise up inside of you when you see his goodness. This God that loves you and cares for you, he has a great plan, a mighty plan. And Jesus is coming back, and you're the voice. You're the voice. You're the voice that cries and tells of the good news that's coming. Verse in chapter 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." Come on, if you're in here this morning, Jason, can you come? If you're in here this morning and you're a believer in Christ Jesus, this scripture is for you. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed you to bring good news to the poor. He has sent you to comfort the brokenhearted." I'm telling you, this is a word for us of the church today. "He has sent you to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be set free," will be released. "And prisoners will be freed. He has sent you to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes." Come on, whatever you're facing right now, it might look like a pile of ashes. It might feel like death. It might feel like darkness. But God can take those ashes and he can turn it into something beautiful. You won't even recognize it. It says he will give a joyous blessing instead of mourning. God is about to turn, wherever you're at this morning, God's about to turn your mourning into rejoicing. Isn't that the beautiful thing about God, is that we can rejoice in the face of the storm? And come on, sometimes we need a little help, don't we? Sometimes we need a brother or a sister to say, "Hey, remember the word." Sometimes we need our wives to look in our face and say, "Where is God in all of that?" Sometimes we need to be checked and held accountable for what we believe and what we confess with our mouths. It says there will be festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will walk like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. That the Lord has planted for his own glory. You look around out here, I want you to begin to see great and mighty oaks. Great and mighty oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. When you have the perspective of God and God's on your side, listen, there's nothing that can come against you. There's nothing that has the power and dominion to bring you down. A joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It says, "I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed you with the clothing of salvation, and draped over you is a robe of righteousness." Says we are like a, he says, "I am like a bridegroom dressed for this wedding, or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in the early spring." Come on. will be like a garden in the early spring with plants springing up everywhere. Thank you, Lord. But you should keep a clear mind. This is God's last word over you this morning, so receive this. You should keep a clear mind in every situation. You should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid for suffering for the Lord. Work, listen to this, work at telling others the good news. You are a voice crying out, preparing the coming of our Savior. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. My life has already been poured out like an offering, Paul says to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the glory, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Come on, do we have people in the house that are looking forward to the coming of our King? Are we looking forward to the coming of our King? Well, what I'm praying this morning is that our love for God and his love for us will manifest in this way, that your voice will be activated. That your voice will be activated to tell the good news. Listen, Sam, if you don't tell, how will they hear? Keith, if you don't tell, how will they hear? Or Londa, if you don't tell them, how will they hear? You are called. Shirley, if you don't tell, how will they hear? God's given you a voice, and today I'm praying he will activate you in the Spirit of God to let that voice tell. Heal brokenhearted, that it'll set captives free. Come on, that it'll free those who are enslaved. Amen. Come on, this is the word of the Lord, and it's for us today. Let's stand to our feet. Jason, let's worship the Lord out of here, okay? Come on, yeah. Let's worship the Lord like our pants are on fire this morning. Amen. Let's worship the Lord like this is the last time we get the opportunity to worship him.